Like to call it to order the meeting of the Employee and Community Relations Committee of Sylvania City Council. It's May 1st at 5:04. Present today are members of council, members of the committee, Capellini, Brown, Lutke, and Hussman, along with Councilman Hainem, Mayor Stow, Mr. Moan from the administration, Mr. Sanford from the administration, and a number of interested citizens. The purpose of the meeting today is to talk, to learn a bit more about the current status of TARDA. We have Tom Ramsdell with us today, who is the city's appointed representative to the TARDA Board of Trustees. And we were hoping to just begin a conversation about what might be in store for TARDA, what the TARDA Board has in mind. We hear a lot around the community about various units of government thinking about withdrawing from TARDA. Of course, there's been state legislation passed to allow that to happen in a, I believe, two-year window of opportunity that ends at the end of 13. So some units of government have expressed interest in doing that. I believe council's a little curious about how what impact that might have on the system and on Sylvania. What I thought might be an interesting second piece to the meeting is that just down the road in Bowling Green, there is an actual municipal public transportation system. And it's operated privately under a contract with the city of Bowling Green. And I had a conversation with the woman who manages that program. She can't be here tonight. But Scott Potter, who manages that system, is here to sort of provide a little bit of a different counterpoint to the discussion about TARDA. I don't think it would be, it would be fair to say that part of this discussion was prompted by comments by Doug at our last council meeting regarding the proposition that perhaps council should consider, because we have an opportunity to do so, legal opportunity, consider an up or down vote at some point in Sylvania about the future of TARDA. So it's important to put that on the record since that's, I think, the conversation that started it. So unless members of council have any opening comments, I thought we'd just have Tom get up and give us a little briefing on what's the status of TARDA at this point. Yes, Ms. Westfall has joined us.
Hello.
So Tom, thank you for coming tonight.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here. Believe it or not, it's been, what, almost 6 months since I was here last. And at that time, it was before the November elections, and I told you, you know, at that time, when everybody was waiting to see what was happening out in Perrysburg and their ballot to decide whether to stay in or opt out of TARDA. And as we all know at this point, they have elected to opt out. And as of the end of this year, TARDA and Perrysburg will sever their relationship. Question, of course, is how does Perrysburg opting out of TARDA affect us, and will it hurt our services to the other communities? And frankly, the difference between what we collected in tax in Perrysburg versus what was spent in Perrysburg is roughly $200,000. And that's an estimate that's probably on the high side. And I say that because we can figure out the expenses of the fixed bus route and of call a ride, because that all pretty much happens in the city of Perrysburg. However, on the TARPS service, which is the paratransit service, we generate the expense for TARPS based on the origination of the ride. So if a person from Perrysburg takes TARPS to a doctor's appointment in Maumee, he originated in Perrysburg, so we know that ride is an expense that was originated in Perrysburg. But on his return ride from Maumee to Perrysburg, then that expense is allocated to Maumee. So, you know, technically it'd be nice to have the data to say that that person that lives in Perrysburg went to Maumee on TARPS and came back. Both of those should be an expense of Perrysburg. So the $200,000 is probably less than $200,000, but I can't tell you about how much. So I think the $200,000 is probably a little overstated, but the fact is the $200,000 can be absorbed by TARDA by not having to do any layoffs or changes in routes to the other communities. What we'll do is do it through attrition. Some people that retire, we won't replace some bus drivers. There are some expenses that can be cut. So that $200,000 will actually just be absorbed over the year, and we have no plans whatsoever to affect any of the services in the other communities. With that being said, basically, TARDA can just continue to operate as they are right now, providing the same level of service to the rest of the communities without Perrysburg. And they can just go on and stay status quo. The question, of course, that we have to be concerned of as a board is, will other communities follow suit? And do we want other communities to follow suit? And what can we do to stop that from possibly happening? And frankly, I would like to see TARDA be in a position where they change the services or create the image that I would hope that maybe in a few years, Perrysburg would come back and say, you know what, we can't do it as well as you did it or what you were doing now. We would like to be back in. That would be an ideal situation. I would hope that other member communities would feel that same way. So I think TARDA has the responsibility to go out and talk with the other member communities and get a feel for what we can do to what they're unhappy about, what we can do to improve the services there, what would make them feel that they're getting the best bang for their buck. Of course, one of the big factors that we hear all along is the funding and the property tax. I think that was certainly a main reason of Perrysburg opting out, was they feel they weren't getting enough service for the money that they paid in. And as I've told you before, we have in our member communities, we have what we call donors and recipients. They're just the way taxes are, particularly with property taxes. There are some that pay in more than services they get and vice versa. Perrysburg happened to be in a position where, because of the values of the homes and everything in Perrysburg, they paid in about $200,000 more than the services they received. Sylvania, interestingly, is not in that position. Sylvania paid in roughly, in fact, I've got this figure here, Sylvania paid in $905,000 in taxes in 2010, and services received were $1.2 million. So Sylvania is actually a recipient. Community member. So I made a motion at our last board meeting that we should look at possibly revisiting the sales tax, because I thought one way that we could really improve services for TARDA to become a true regional transit authority, because right now, even though our name says regional, quite frankly, there are parts of Lucas County we don't service. And if we could become a county-wide service, then everybody would benefit from that, and it would hopefully be good for the entire economy. The problem with the sales tax was Perrysburg was not the only community that was not in favor of a sales tax. Sylvania Township and the City of Maumee also were not in favor. And the way our bylaws are written right now, it just takes one community member to say no, and we wouldn't be allowed to put it on the ballot. So it's not a majority, it's just one member has to say no. Sylvania Township, one of their trustees had said he would be in favor of the sales tax to revisit it again. So we also went and talked with Maumee. However, Maumee tends to still be against the sales tax. And the reason is twofold. Maumee currently has a TIF on Fallen Timbers Shopping Center that the TARDA portion that Maumee is allowed to keep on that TIF is about $90,000 a year, and it's a 30-year TIF. So for Maumee to say they would be willing to go with a sales tax, they would be giving up and have to figure out a way to overcome a $90,000 deficit on that property tax that they wouldn't be able to collect from the TARP portion of the TIF. In addition, Maumee feels that they are more of a business community than a residential community because they only have 15,000 residents, but a tremendous amount of business. And the retail establishments feel that a sales tax of even a 0.25%, which would actually put them a 0.5% higher on sales tax than Wood County and Perrysburg, that their business owners would be at a disadvantage. And of course, we know Fallen Timbers is trying to attract new tenants, and a 0.5% sales tax may mean the difference between them being able to draw a tenant to Fallen Timbers versus that tenant going out to Levis Commons. So Maumee has basically said they would not be in favor of the sales tax. So the question is, how do we overcome that? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it means we have to go to Columbus and change legislation and say that we can no longer live with one member community not agreeing with everybody else. We need to change to a voting process where it's a majority of members. I don't know if that can be done or how long that will be done. It will take to get something like that done, but that's something we need to address. We also thought that perhaps it would soften the blow if instead of asking for a 0.5% sales tax, we only ask for 0.25%. Now keep in mind, we can only ask for 0.25% or 0.5%. We can't do anything in between. It's either 0.25% or 0.5%. Right now, in 2012, Harta is going to collect $15.1 million in property tax.
What was that number, 15?
15.1. And
does that include anything from Perrysburg?
No, that's without Perrysburg. If we went to a sales tax, which again, the sales tax would also just be Lucas County, not including Perrysburg, a 0.25% sales tax would be $12.8 million. Collected, so TARTA would be short roughly $2.3 million by going to a 0.25% sales tax. And if we went to a sales tax, of course it would be countywide, so we would expect parts of the county would want service improved in their area or new service to their area. For instance, Oregon right now does not have TARTA service, but a countywide sales tax, we would of course need to give service to Oregon. So if we went to a sales tax, I think we'd have to beef up our services and we would have expenses to do so. So to go with a 0.25% sales tax, which is going to roughly cut our revenue by $2.3 million, it's very tough to improve on service. So I'm not sure a 0.25% sales tax would do it. However, if we went to a 0.5% sales tax, we would generate $25.6 million in revenue, which far exceeds our needs. And we have learned from the past time we did visited the sales tax issue, we can't refund that money to any communities. We have no way of giving it back to anybody or to a different community or anything. So we're in a little bit of a catch-22 that on the sales tax, the 0.25% isn't going to be enough for us to provide the existing service and to grow like we would like to. But certainly, I can understand why nobody would want to vote for a 0.5% sales tax, because it would give us such an influx of money that we couldn't use. So it's a difficult position to be in. So we're still kind of throwing around what can be done along those avenues.
Tom, if I understand correctly, the way you would do a sales tax would be to have Lucas County become a member of TARTA. Is that right?
Yes.
So then you would have essentially a countywide.
That is correct. In order to put a sales tax on the ballot, Lucas County would have to become a member.
Tom, in that situation, what would happen to Rossford? Because are they not in Tarta as well?
Rossford is in Tarta.
Which is in Wood County. How do you deal with that?
Well, they could still stay in just like they are currently now.
On the basis of a property tax or a sales?
No, they'd have to go on a sales tax.
In their...
They couldn't be a property. Well, you couldn't be a property tax and we couldn't be a sales tax.
You couldn't collect the property tax in Wood County.
No.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, you couldn't collect a sales tax in Wood County. Would you continue to collect a sales tax for the portion of Rossford that's in Wood County?
That's my understanding. We could, yes.
Okay.
And then with each...
And there is a fair amount of business in Rossford that's in Wood County. I think, you know, on Route 20, you look at some of that new development, although we think of it as Perrysburg, it's actually in Rossford. So I could see Rossford possibly being against a sales tax because those businesses then would be competing with somebody right down the road with a lower sales tax than they would have to charge. But
well, essentially, the opposition to the sales tax turned into an opposition to letting Lucas County become a member. That's what Maumee voted against. They didn't vote against the sales tax. They just didn't agree to let Lucas County become a member, right?
Okay.
That's the, I mean, that was, I think, how it went.
Same outcome.
Same outcome, different process.
Right, right.
You know, it's a lawyer, it makes a difference.
Tom, could you talk for a minute about, I'm sorry, did you have another question?
Not about that.
No, okay. Could you talk for a minute about other communities that are considering taking advantage of this legislation to let them out of Tarta? I mean, sure. Perrysburg did. We understand that our friends in the township, Sylvania Township, may be pursuing that. Is that correct?
Yes. Certainly there is talk of other communities allowing this to go on the ballot and letting the voters decide whether they stay in Tarta or not. We have heard that Waterville may be considering it, Ottawa Hills. I would think Spencer Township would, because Spencer Township has wanted basically out for many, many years and frankly has very little representation on the board. I'm surprised we haven't seen something from them. And of course, Sylvania Township. Tarta feels that, you know, two or three more of them opting out, they could still provide the same service to the remaining communities, just as when Perrysburg opted out. They'd have to maybe cut a little bit of routes or something like that, but they think they could still survive. Obviously, your big concern is if you're Tarta, you don't want all the suburban communities opting out and leaving Tarta just as a Toledo service. At that point, I think, you know, it would be a tremendous problem. Sylvania's concern, I think, at this point is if Sylvania Township opts out, how will that affect the services here in Sylvania? And I have been told that the services will not be affected here, except from the standpoint that we won't be able to run our buses through the township to get to Sylvania.
Well, then you can't get here.
Well, when we operate on the roads, a direct service, such as coming down Monroe Street through the township to get to Sylvania, we are required by federal law to provide TARPS service within a quarter mile of both sides of Monroe Street. So if we came with our buses down Monroe Street, we would have to give Sylvania Township TARPS service within that quarter mile of Monroe Street on both sides. So technically, the township would be getting services for free because they aren't paying anything towards it. The only way Tarta can get around that is if we are traveling on the highway. We are not required to provide service within the quarter mile of each side. So our bus service will basically be on 475 into Sylvania and back to the Franklin Park Mall via 475 probably.
And 23 isn't covered by that?
No.
You sure?
I've been told that. That's,
okay.
Yeah. I told that basically if we traveled on 475 and 23 to get into Sylvania, we would bypass having to go through Sylvania Township and have to provide the TARPS service. So
Tom, so what you're saying so far, what I'm hearing is Sylvania residents can't go to Perrysburg now or soon, right? You won't, a person in Sylvania wouldn't be able to go to a doctor's office in Perrysburg.
That is correct.
Okay. And then we wouldn't, if these other communities leave, we wouldn't, our service would not take us to any of those communities.
No, if Sylvania Township opted out, a resident of the city of Sylvania wanted to go to Sylvania Township, there would be no service to them.
Okay.
There would be no service, did you say?
No.
Just within, it would be within the city limits.
It would be within the city. You know, we would still have call ride within the city, but it's only going to be within the city. And probably to Franklin Park Mall to meet another bus to go to any of the other member communities.
Let me tell you where I live. We're surrounded by township. Therefore, you couldn't come, I couldn't call a ride to leave my community. I would have to walk back into Sylvania through Sylvania Township to get to a place where you could pick me up. So my neighbors that are surrounded by township wouldn't be able to use your call a ride.
Interesting, I'm not sure the call a ride service requires us to provide the TARP service. The
okay.
TARP service is tied to the direct line, the quarter mile of the direct line. I'm not sure it would for the call a ride. I don't know the answer to that.
I would like to know the answer
okay.
to that.
Tom, does it bother you at all that these communities are, I mean, I've talked to some of the township trustees and some of the Ottawa Hills councilmen. I haven't talked to anybody in Spencer Township, and you said Waterville was also?
Yes.
Thinking about it? What do you have to say about that?
Well, that one gets into my personal opinion, I well, guess, as opposed to...
You're a representative. I'd be very interested in your personal opinion.
I'm in favor of public transportation. I personally feel that the image of TARDA is that it is for poor people, handicapped people. I don't think TARDA gets looked at as the economic tool that it means to the region. I think a lot of people look at it's just another tax being distributed to somebody that can't afford to do something on their own, such as own their own car and everything, and I don't agree with that. And I think TARDA needs to change their image along those ways, although that's been pretty difficult. I think TARDA sports some bruises on their image right now that are unfairly thrust upon them. I don't think people truly understand the federal requirements that TARDA has to work under, what they can and cannot do, but they kind of take the brunt for a lot of their actions and it gets blamed that TARDA won't do this or TARDA won't try to do this, and when in fact we're not allowed to do it, and I don't think that gets conveyed very well. On the other hand, as I was telling Mr. Lukey today, you know, there's a ballot on the, or there's this window of opportunity that's been presented to allow people to opt out, and it's very difficult to argue with voters' rights. I mean, here's a window that's been provided. How do you not allow a voter to make that type of decision? I understand that argument also. Personally, I think the public transportation is something that we need from an economic standpoint. I think it needs to be subsidized. We certainly can't operate without funding. To operate in privately would be very difficult for people to afford. I think it needs to be shared amongst everybody in the community. So I'm in favor of TARDA. I like how it operates, but I would like to see it funded in a different fashion.
Do you use it on a daily basis?
I do not. I'm in sales, and it doesn't necessarily go where I need it to in a timely fashion, because I've got so many calls to make in a day and everything, I can't.
Didn't you move to Springfield Township?
Yes.
So you don't even live in a community, well, you value it, you chose not to live in a community that has TARP.
That's correct. That wasn't my decision, but for moving there, but...
Whose decision was it?
No, I mean, I did not move there because it didn't have TARP.
Yeah, but TARP didn't inspire you, the TARP service didn't inspire you to choose a community that had TARP.
I'm not concerned about why you moved to Springfield, quite honestly.
Well, I'm a little concerned that we have a representative who doesn't live in the city and doesn't even live in a community that's serviced by TARP. I think that's something we gotta talk about. We can talk about that afterwards.
If I could just say that the new TARP board member from the city of Toledo that was just appointed this morning actually lives in Perrysburg.
Well, that
doesn't make me feel any better, Tom.
But you know what? That is a different matter, which I think I wasn't aware that you moved, but let's make that a discussion for a different time. Mary?
You know, I, Tom, you know, certainly this is, I'm sure, an issue that you've looked at very deeply and from every angle. What I think I heard you say is that if two or three more communities opted out, you feel like you could still maintain the service.
Correct.
In pretty much the same nature that it exists now. What I'd like to get a little feedback from you on is what TARDA leadership's perspective is on how you've established a case for need for TARDA. If you've got all of these conversations, because if two or three more communities opt out, it does compromise our ability to stay in if we can't get our residents. So it does have a snowball effect.
Right.
And it certainly says to me that there must be some vision or case statement of need that you are considering, or what would that vision be?
I'm not sure. I can answer the question, to be honest with you. You know, our vision is basically to improve service. Like I said, we'd like to be a countywide service. I don't think we've actually looked at said, you know, two or three more people opt out. At what point do we say we can't do this anymore? There's not a need for this. I mean, do you just close the doors? Or what do you say?
I don't know. I think that is an important conversation for the board, though, and I'd encourage you to take that question back and get some feedback from them, because ultimately, it would seem to me if there's this dialogue around it, there's a question of need and of...
Well, to give you an example, even though I said Maumee is not in favor of the sales tax, they are very much in favor of TARDA. But they would like to see TARDA just continue to stay and operate as they are right now. They are happy with the property tax. They basically have let us know that they're happy with the service. They don't think we need to change, and we should continue to operating as is. I don't believe that Maumee is probably going to put this on the ballot.
Any other questions? Katie, you
had a question? So we've got four communities on the fence. Do you have a strategy for trying to keep them in? Because it sounds like it could fall apart, these four are on the fence. I mean, what's your, do you have a plan to go out and get these four communities to not opt out? Or are you just going to say, oh, well, I guess they're leaving?
Well, one of the main things we wanted to do, of course, was to go to the sales tax, because we thought, you know, one of the big issues was the unfair funding of the property tax, and that more people would be in favor of it if it was a sales tax, that it would be a fair way to fund it. And Sylvania Township has basically said that they would be in favor of the sales tax.
One trustee.
One trustee, yes. You know,
it'd be interesting to hear all the car dealers along Central Avenue would feel about it. Tom, you're not going to, you don't have a, you know, the sales tax isn't going to happen, right? So we can,
the
we
sales
are
tax
talking
is not
about
going
it
to be on the ballot this fall, I can tell you that.
Okay. So what's your other strategy for keeping these four companies in? I mean, you mentioned sales tax. What else other than that?
Well, like I said, we talked with Maumee, and they are basically not going to put it on the ballot, is what we've heard.
So that means they're not going to vote to allow Lucas County to join?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking with the trustees in Sylvania Township, I'm not sure there's anything we can say to them to make them change their mind.
In terms of putting it on the ballot?
Putting it on the ballot.
But you're going to campaign, I assume?
Yes.
To keep Tartan?
No question. Interestingly, at Sylvania Rotary last Thursday, Mr. Genowine spoke and said that it was his plan that they were going to vote on opting out of Tartan without a replacement of any service whatsoever. So it wasn't a matter of opting out of Tartan and having an alternative transportation plan. It was truly, do we want Tartan or nothing at all?
And I said in council that that's what Trustee Mahoney had told me as well. And frankly, I think that works to your advantage.
Well, I do too. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, I understand their desire to put it on the ballot with this window of opportunity, but frankly, I think that if that same proposal would have been on the ballot in Perrysburg, that it's either in Tartan or nothing at all, I'm not so sure it would have passed in Perrysburg.
All right, I will represent to you, I've had some discussions with the folks in Perrysburg, and I think they're finding that their ability to replace that service is not looking like it's going to save anything if it does at all. And I do think it's, from talking to, I have not talked with the other two trustees, but, you know, my sense is that the reason they're not currently thinking, if you recall, when they put it on the, originally voted to put it on the ballot in March, the plan was they'd have an alternative plan.
Right.
And I think what they found is that trying to put together an alternative plan that services the places that they need to go, which go far beyond Sylvania Township, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. Which is why I think they're heading towards, you know, if you believe in public transportation, it's Tartan. And if you don't, and if you don't want Tartan, we're not committing to do anything else. Part of that also has to do with the fact that they'd have a difficult time, as I understand it, putting Perrysburg is going to have to pass a levy to do public transportation in Perrysburg. They don't have revenues to do that. And if Sylvania tried to put a levy on the ballot, they'd have to put it on here in the city as well as in the township. So, as I understand it, at least they got that. I think they got that interpretation from the state. So, I think they got that from the Attorney General. So they're not confident they could pass. They could find another revenue source anyway. If Sylvania stays, if the city stays in and the township withdraws, the idea that so the city of Sylvania residents would vote for another tax to provide service in the township seems pretty bleak.
Yeah, you know, Doug, your comment, though, I think raises an opportunity to, you can stick around for a little bit, Tom, can't
sure.
you? Scott Potter is here. And when we had this conversation in council, I was aware of, first of all, thank you for the first phase of this. And
I have a couple of questions that I'd like to ask.
Oh, I'm sorry. I seemed like you were.
Tom, there are, and I've shared with council some issues that I think are troubling when we look at Tartan. I think part, and I think this goes part to Tartan's problem. What, if anything, has Tartan done to replace the taxpayer money that they used to spend on the tax revenue, tax bond, the tax election, where they spent taxpayer money in support of their tax revenue? Have you done anything to replace that?
Well, it was paid back.
It has been paid back in its entirety?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was not immediately.
I'm sorry, if I, I'm not familiar.
If I'm wrong.
Well, it was paid back through the insurance, which is still taxpayer money. So the taxpayer is still out that money any way you look at it.
Okay, well, who paid back that money? Do you know?
I do not.
It's my understanding, it's been my understanding that that money hasn't been paid back. At least not, and if I'm, and if you could look into that and get back to me on that.
Sure.
I'd appreciate that. And also, what's going on, I understand the auditor of the state declared that your books were unauditable because you failed to supply all the data necessary to complete the 2010 audit. Do you know what the status of that is?
Yeah, in fact, we received a letter 2 days ago that everything is satisfactory and the 2010 audit has been accepted.
Could you get that to, could you, I mean, I'm sure we'll, I don't know if anybody else would like it. I would like to see that.
A copy of that letter? Yeah, I didn't bring it with me, but I can get you a copy.
Okay. It, and, I mean, those sorts of administration issues, I think, adversely impact the community's evaluation of TARP.
No question.
And so I would urge you to be, and I certainly had no idea that they had been addressed or corrected. Slightly more involved, although not as involved as maybe I should be, in following these issues. So if you could help us with addressing that, I think that would be appreciated. Those are the two questions, two other questions I had for you.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom.
Yep.
Mike, yeah.
You know, we're sitting around, we're talking about public transportation, and we're talking about dollars, this and this community opting out, and this community staying in, sales tax and everything. And no one's really talked about quality of life. And public transportation adds to the quality of life in the community. We need some form of public transportation, whether, you know, it's TARDA or something else. We have to have public transportation in the community. You know, Doug's right, there's a lot of skepticism out there that the management of TARDA has gone astray. And I think that's a big hurdle for TARDA to overcome. I think it can be overcome and, you know, regain the faith of the community. But I think that's one of the reasons that we're talking about this today, is that that faith has been lost in the whole process that goes on with public transportation. But I want to stress that I am not in favor of getting rid of public transportation, because I think it's a quality of life issue. And if a community pays more for the service than what they use, so be it. That's what public services are all about. You know, we pay a heck of a lot more for our water than what Toledo pays for their water. But It's you got to have public transportation. You don't have public transportation, you've lost one of the cornerstones of serving the citizens of your community. That's my comment.
Thanks, Mike. Any other comments, Sandy?
Yes, I do have a comment. There's, and Mike kind of mentioned it, I am for public transportation too, and I do think it's an economic thing. I mean, it's many things, and it's certainly environmentally correct to do and all of that, and we need it. But there's something wrong with TARDA. What is it?
Well, personally, I think it's an image issue.
Image. And where is your image come from, Tom? It comes from the top.
Well,
in my opinion.
Yes, but as I alluded to a little bit earlier, that I think TARDA sports some bruises that are unfairly thrust upon them. And we continue to get pounded for not doing things that frankly we aren't allowed to do. And, you know, we've been asked to provide bus service up to Detroit Metro Airport. We're not allowed to run charter buses. It's better left to the private sector to do that. You know, we're constantly being told, here's what you need to do to increase revenues, and frankly, we can't do that. So we get the image that TARDA's not willing to look at new sources of revenue. It's not that we're not willing to look at it, we're prohibited from doing what we're being asked, even though we tell people why we are doing something. For instance, we continue to try to get over the big bus issue with the empty buses. And even if we lay it out on paper and say, this is a business decision that financially, it is actually cheaper to run that big bus than two smaller buses, it continually comes up at every meeting I go to. So, you know, when you say, what do we do to overcome that image issue? Even when I give facts, next time around, the same issue comes up. I don't know.
Tom, I think sometimes it's not a fact. I unfortunately tend to agree with my colleagues here. It's not a facts and figures issue. It's kind of a body language issue.
Yeah.
You know, there is a sense of less than full transparency that I feel sometimes when not you, but some of your staff people are here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe if there's a pushback from the public, it might be not the facts, but the attitude, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I certainly understand what my colleagues were saying. There just seems to be a tone deafness almost among your management that the community is not fully behind them. You know, we see commercials on TV that are sort of public service commercials promoting TARDA, but there's not a real value proposition sometimes there. And the it's just hard to get our arms around, I think, where TARDA is coming from sometimes. Maybe that's what you're saying, is the image, it's an image issue.
Yeah, because, you know, of course, I'm not up here talking in front of you a lot, but I can tell you it's been 5 or 6 years now that I've been on your representative to the board of TARDA. And when I first came in, you know, TARPS itself was subcontracted, and I've seen TARDA bring that in-house, and the ridership has almost doubled in the time that I've been on the board. And this year, TARPS will surpass probably 300,000 riders. And I look at the praise that we've gotten because TARPS has taken over, how much better it is to ride TARPS, how friendly the drivers are and everything. And we don't do a very good job of letting the public know that. We hear the bad things, but we don't do a very good job of blowing our own horn and telling you what a great job TARDA does. And we probably need to do a much better job of that. Because from the time I've been there, the employees that have been hired since I've been there, I've been extremely impressed with. I think we have a very good group of people. The gentleman that is running TARPS is just doing a phenomenal job. The gentleman we have coming in that's running the direct lines brought in from Lima, I am so impressed with what they have brought to the table and what they've been able to do and to improve our service, but we don't do a good job of telling you what those changes have been and how well they're and how hard they're working.
Let's try to move on again.
Yep.
If you want to hang on. I became aware of the fact that our neighbor Bowling Green has a municipally owned public transportation system, about the same geographical size as Sylvania City, I think, and maybe the same population size. I talked with a woman named Tina Bradley, who administers that there. She couldn't be here tonight, but she suggested that I contact the individual who is the contract service provider in Bowling Green, a private company that is got a contract with Bowling Green, which is Scott Potter. And he can introduce himself in a minute. But this is a demand response system, according to Tina, which means that they do a pickup from a point-to-point in Bowling Green. And she says it works extremely well for that community. I think, Scott, you've been working with them since 2002, something like that.
This is our 11th year.
Yeah.
So I think maybe 2001.
Okay. So maybe you could describe how it works in Bowling Green. And I think you've also done a little consulting with some of the other communities that are in TARDA.
My wife and I own Black and White Transportation, Black and White Cab Company, you may know. And we bid for this work in Long Beach in 2001 or two, I forgot the first time. And we're on the second year of a five-year contract. We have 3 years left after this. And it's funded in part by the feds. The vehicles were purchased through what's called 5310 money. And the city owns the vehicles. We hire the drivers. We have the dispatch system, which we do in Toledo. We adhere to all the trainings and the regulations and drill testing, et cetera, that's required of a transit system such as Bowling Green has. Bowling Green picks up the maintenance, like the 3,000-mile oil changes, whatnot. We insure the vehicles. And we just got ahead of QAR, which is a quality assurance review from the Ohio Department of Transportation, and got the highest rating in the state. So it's a good system. I'm not sure it would work as well for you here because, you know, Bowling Green, as Mark alluded to, is isolated. It only operates within the city limits, and that's the way the city designed it. And that's our job, is just to uphold what the city designs in the system. But it is demand response. It has hours from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's 10 to 4 on Saturday, closed on Sundays and major holidays. And part of the design of the system is you call for a 9 o'clock ride tomorrow morning. If we have an opening, you know, we have a grid and we keep, it's all automated dispatching, but we keep a scheduling grid. We have from 8:45 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. to consider that an on-time ride. If we're late, it goes into the report at the end of the month. The city gets, you know, everything that we've done for the month, warts and all. You know, we keep no-shows. We have a no-show policy. Says I know that's a big problem with TARPS and some other systems. In our taxi cab company, which we've owned for 16 years, 14 years ago, we added computers to all the cars. We have automated dispatching. And we were approached by Bowling Green many years ago, said, can you do this for us? Well, it's prohibitively expensive to do for a small system like that. So I get to thinking, wait a second, why don't we just piggyback from Toledo? So that's what we've done. We've taken our software, created a second company, and in Toledo we dispatch for Bowling Green. So we're able to have that sort of accountability that has been what we've hung our hat on for all these years. Accountability goes two ways. You know, it helps us say, well, this is what we did, but also shows us this is what we did, this is what we did wrong. And it's always been our philosophy to, we want to know what we've done wrong, because then we can go and retrace our steps and fix it, you know, and fix the problem. Hopefully it won't happen again. I believe the funding is somewhere shy of $600,000 a year. This past year, I think we picked up 38,000 people, 75% of which are elderly and disabled. The flat fee within the city for a regular customer, which I was described in our system, is $3.50, and it's half of that for elderly and disabled.
Now, let's say, you know, Tim's here, and let's say we have somebody that needs to get to the Ability Center that lives on the corner of Douglas and Savannah Avenue on the west end of Toledo.
Well, I was given 24 hours notice to be here. So speak off the Bowling Green thing for a bit, I've been involved in many transportation meetings and you know, with TARDA. And I brought a study with me, part of a study that was commissioned by Lucas County. I only have 5 or 6 copies, but I can get you more if you'd like, that compares TARDA to 7 other areas. And I hear people say, well, gee, we either wear TARDA or we have nothing. And I'm here to tell you, TARDA is an aberration in across the United States. It is very unique. It is not usual. Every place else almost collaborates. You know, I don't know if you ever recall the advertising when they started Dial-A-Ride. You know what they said? Almost like a taxi. Well, guess what? I've got 105 taxis. I did over 500,000 trips last year. The average trip in this area is $16, $17. Look at what the average trip on Dial-A-Ride is. It's probably somewhere north of 50. So if Reveille, your neighbor here, puts a sign out on the window Saturday, $60, almost like a haircut, what are you going to do? Well, yeah, I'd rather have half of a haircut, or I go see Gus at Artco, for $15. So I can get 4 haircuts from Gus for $15, or go to Reveille and get something like a haircut for $60. I mean, it's a similar concept. And in Denver, for instance, they have collaborated with a couple of the taxi cab companies to run wheelchair accessible vehicles. They're out there 24/7, okay? People have to pre-qualify with the Transit Authority of Denver, and I'm not sure what they call it. I think it's called DART, actually. So they pre-qualify with Denver, and let's say Amy Crispin, I don't know if Amy's here, but Amy comes to a lot of these meetings. Amy could go and qualify. That means on a Tuesday night, the opening of Star Wars 5, that's going to open at midnight, she can call and she can get a wheelchair accessible taxi, and it's going to cost her maybe, in Denver, I don't know exactly how it works, but the first $7 she pays. Everything beyond that, up to 19, is paid by the Transit Authority. If it goes over that, then Amy covers it. End of the month, I or someone else who has the capability of, you know, automated dispatch and GPS and all the things that we do to record all our meetings, I bill the Transit Authority at the end of the month for that the rest of the fully allocated fare. And that's not unique to Denver. It happens all over the place. The Developmentally Disabled Board has 105 vehicles. They're transporting 100 or 200 to 300 people a day. All these social service agencies have vehicles for 5310. I'm telling you, I don't think it's a funding issue. I think it's a cooperation, it's a collaboration, it's an inclusion issue. And, you know, you talk about what can TARDA do. Frankly, what does it say when they want legislation to let you get out of it? They're saying, we don't like what you're doing. Your product stinks, so we want a chance to get out. That's really what everyone's taking a look. And all of a sudden, TARDA's saying, oh, well, you know, we want to be responsible. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of strong feelings about this. And it's not just because my company could do some stuff. We could be part of it. I'm not the solution. I'm a big believer you have to have public transportation. I'm a huge supporter of it. But not like this. So.
Can I have a question for you? Glad to hear you're a supporter of public transportation. I too, am a supporter of public transportation. Sounds like you've got lots of experience and you've looked at lots of other collaborative transportation structures throughout the country. Have you been in conversation with Perrysburg?
I've been contacted by Perrysburg. They've been to my office. Rossford has been to my office. I've been to Ottawa Hills, and they invited me to a meeting this Friday. I have to go to a transportation conference in New Orleans, so I can't attend. I've also been contacted by Sylvania Township, and now that's Sylvania. And they have contacted me. I am not the solution to public transportation. I could be part of it, and so could Developmentally Disabled Board. So could a lot of people.
Have you been contacted by TARDA?
I have had lunch with Jim Gee on occasions. I've gone to Mr. Harrington's establishment with one of the board members, Shelley, and we've talked about this stuff ad nauseum. There's a guy, a senior transportation advocate by the name of Sam Burnett. Anyone here know Sam? Sam kept saying, "Wait, we need to create this transportation thing." And so we got together with the Cafe Marie three times with Jim. I don't have an axe to grind with Jim personally. I'd say what we have to do is fix your system. That's what we have to do. My mother lives in Sylvania Township. She's going to be 90 in August. Hopefully she will never drive again after that. But there's no way. I mean, what is she going to do? She can't walk to the bus station. You know, unfortunately, her son owns a cab company. I can have it picked up. But what is she going to do, especially in the winter? I mean, it doesn't. As I see it, one of the problems, two of many, many of the problems, first of all, the data that I've seen. I was talking to Mark Thompson, and Mark said that the data that he felt he received was nowhere near what he would have guessed it was. I've got a guy that's been writing the township, Sylvania Township, for the last 4 weeks, and he's putting a report together for me to see what he's found, you know, because I've been given data. But the problem is, let's just say, you design a system, or the suburbs design a system, or TARDA decides to design a system that will work for everybody, you might have five times the usage because it really works.
Scott, you know, we are going to probably face a decision at council here to either put this on the ballot or not at some point. And I guess my thought is that I would hate to have that happen without some discussion about what kind of public transportation Sylvania could offer its citizens, right? Have you had any direct question about what kind of a system we could have that's intra-Sylvania, but then also connects with TARDA, where, you know, perhaps we have our own system here that in somehow, rather than having to take 475 to get to the mall to hook up with TARDA, can provide some other coordinated approach.
Okay. I'm not aware of what the federal guidelines he's espoused, because in Bowling Green, we don't, maybe it's just the buses, I can't intelligently say that. What I could intelligently say is designing a system point to point is child's play. I mean, we do a very complicated, you know, over 500,000 trips a day, you know, our phones scream all day. We've done a lot of technological development to, you know, take the burden off of that, like being able to text a cab, book on a flat rail, that kind of stuff. From a logistical standpoint, it's not complicated. From a what type of vehicle do you throw at this route versus this route, without real data, the collection of the data would make an enormous difference. And there are a lot of companies out there, too. I mean, I would expect that you would put it out for proposal, and TARDA could bid on it, too. You know, but you'd really need the data, and I don't see it as, you know, the way he was talking about that a round trip starts in Perrysburg, goes to Maumee, and goes back. To me, that's a round trip emanating from Perrysburg. As a Perrysburg person, he's right. That's the way I would look at it. But, you know, you can look at it any way you want, I guess. And I'm not sure how you could collect that data. I know in one community that Rossford came to see me, and they said, well, we just don't believe the data. And I said, why don't you guys get a group of people with tablets and go ride the bus for a month? And, you know, I don't know if they did, but that's what I would do.
Any questions, other questions for Scott? Tom, yeah. Yeah, sure.
I don't know what some conversations and everything. I do recollect that about 18 months ago, I voted on a resolution at TARDA to talk about subcontracting some services to you. I don't know if that died at the federal level.
No one's
allowed to be permitted.
Oh, no,
way, but
no.
I know the contracts were drawn up and everything, but they never got executed.
Two things I can comment on. No one has a little problem with offering anything. Secondly, I have a hard time believing that those would be illegal. They happen all over the country.
Well, I don't know what happened. Yeah. I know we passed a resolution to go ahead.
I can tell you unequivocally that I have documentation that we were shut out of a meeting 3 or 4 years ago, weren't even allowed to bid on something that was supposed to be a public meeting. I have that documentation.
Okay.
But that, Tom, you were saying that was 18 months ago that you recall that resolution.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago. It was providing some private service for some medical. And I have to apologize because it just came to my mind tonight while I didn't know if Scott was going to be here and who he was and everything, but I remember the black and white cab that we had voted to subcontract. And I'm going to have to look at the check out and see whether that was something that started in follow through on.
Well, I can assure you if they had called me, I'd follow through.
Yeah, you know, we have a small group here. Carol, all of them are, you know, regulars here. Carol and Penny and Tim. Do any of you have any comments? All of you do. Okay. Let's let the ladies go first. Tim, do you mind?
You want me to sit down?
Yeah. Well,
here's this.
Yeah, thanks. I'll get, make these available.
Penny Levine, 3753 Her Road, attended many of the township meetings and last year the CATER meetings. Listened to some truths and listened to half-truths. Unfortunately, I feel the Blade has not done its due diligence on writing and reporting what takes place at some of the meetings. They seem to leave out some of the information as to what TARDA either has given or what some of the questions or concerns or statements that have been made by some of the citizens affected in any of these areas. One key, there were many times that Mr. Gee had come. Attitudes and chips on his shoulders were already there before he came in. And if I was treated like that, I don't know if I'd be too happy to come back either. So, but unfortunately it makes the press. And it's misconstrued. There was many times where physically challenged citizens from the city and the township came to these meetings. And I think those that are capable sometimes have blinders on. As many years that I've lived in the township, it all of a sudden had occurred to me as it's boom, crash, bang, to get through the door, that there was not a handicap accessible button on that meeting room for all of the citizens who came to those TARDA meetings to speak. Diligently, meeting after meeting would come, and either the agenda had changed, or there wasn't enough time, or they're going into executive session, and they dutifully came by TARPS, waited, worked their schedules so that they could come and speak their piece. Till finally, something was said that they could not even realize that month after month and bi-weekly, that room, that meeting room at Township Hall was not accessible. You can get in the lobby, but you can't get in the bathroom, you can't get into the meeting room. Boom, 2 weeks later, button on the door. Blinders on. Now, for the last 2, almost 3 years, these same citizens, along with some others that understand that, I guess, some feel that if you don't use it, then lose it. Do away with it. I don't use it. I don't want to pay for it. Well, if I felt that way, I guess I could make my laundry list of I don't have children in school anymore. I should get a refund. I don't go to the senior center. I should go to the refund. I don't go to the parks. I should get a refund. I guess I could go down the list and say, since I, as a taxpayer, living in the township, utilizing both my city and my township, that I would be due a refund because I don't use those services. That I feel, though, in my, I guess, judgment, I am part of a community. And fortunately, I don't need some of those services yet. But for those that use it, whatever their reason may be, because they've lost their license, they can't afford a car, they can't afford the insurance, maybe they'll go back and forth downtown to work. Maybe they have poor eyesight. Maybe they are physically challenged. Maybe they're students of a poor family. They have to get back and forth to the University of Toledo or to Owens or to Lourdes. I feel we're a community. We need to service our people. We need to take that into consideration. So therefore, that's why I live where I live. I feel safe. I feel that most of the time we're fair. But I think we as a society, unfortunately the political climate, we've taken an attitude of since I don't use it, lose it. And I don't want to pay for it. I think it's sad that, especially on the township, that I attend these meetings, that I watch the attitude of what takes place when the few citizens come in to voice their opinion, or when someone from TARDA has come in and right away the guard is up and an argumentative aspect starts to take place. I have seen it, I have heard it, and I have read about it. They have not given him, and they keep saying that these riders are disgruntled. These riders who have come for the past 2.5, 3 years have said over and over, you can check the tapes, over and over and over again, how improvements have been made, they are happy, the time is better, their drop-offs, pickups, you name it, it's better. Almost 3 years now. But if you talk to any of the officials over there and what they've said to the press, how many complaints they have from the riders, how bad it's this, it's not meeting the schedules, funny how that gets printed, but not what they've really said at a meeting. So don't be fooled by what you've read or by a few of what they're saying. I think you need to speak to those that utilize the system, that depend on that system, and will need that system in the future. And I think that's who you really need to listen to. And anything and everything needs some changes. But to sit down and collectively, as human beings and as a community, to work this out is essential and so important. Perrysburg thought they
Betty,
were...
Yes. Wrap it up, okay.
I will. Okay. Perrysburg, another thing. They, from Columbus, there was a mismatch. Nobody read the contract, I guess, with TARDA, because there was a 3-month shortage of when, if you opt out, as to when the contract actually would stop. It was 3 months, so what did they do? They tried to blame Tarta. Well, what place gives 3 months worth of free service? I don't know anywhere. But it was said that it was Tarta's fault. Also, too, I truly feel that there's an underlying key to this, too. Those that feel you shouldn't pay, so lose it, and the games that went on last year, that, unfortunately, is they don't want another system. They put Mr. Rubino last year for a grant to come up with a system. He makes his proposal. They didn't tell the public it was an additional $20,000. Okay? So Mr. Rubino's gone. The store also had, they have to come up with the system. And we'll see if they do. But if, my fear is, as a citizen, if they opt out, they put that on before they have an alternative or alternate plan, like Perrysburg, it will not pass. They will pass that, and you'll never come up with another system, because I think that is the true underlying action, is they don't want another system because they don't want to have to pay for it.
Okay. Thanks, Perry. Mm-hmm. Carol?
Well, Penny and I go to all the same meetings, but we do see things a little bit differently. And I am not an advocate of doing away with TARDA or public transportation. We need it. The city needs it. Obviously, the Ability Center, the hospital, and Words College need it. But what I am for is making TARDA accountable. And I don't think that they have been. And I don't think that they are. Doug, I liked your questions concerning the use of public funds. Anybody should know that is a treasurer of a campaign that you don't use public funds for private reasons. So the fact that Mr. Gee did that to me is astonishing. And the fact that there was no attempt to pay those funds back for over 5 years until the mayor of Waterville went through the finance, campaign finance reports and found it is even more astonishing. Your question about paying it back, I have an article from the Blade, September 2011. A combination of Citizens for TARDA funds and a $49,000 claim to the Ohio Transit Risk Pool filed jointly by TARDA and Mr. Yost's office reimbursed the Transit Authority for the loan. So the risk pool paid back the loan that came from TARDA. Now, Citizens from TARDA still owes that money to pay back the insurance money. And all that money is taxpayer money, any way you look at it, because the money that went to buy the insurance was taxpayer money. So now the Citizens for TARDA still owe or have agreed that they're going to pay $500 a month. And I have the campaign finance report here from January 31st, 2012. $46,000 is still owed. And at $500 a month, the Blade says that it will take to August 2019 to pay it back. And that's being paid back with no interest whatsoever. So keep that in mind. My problem with TARDA is the way it's managed, been allowed to be managed. It doesn't provide the service for what we're paying for it. And I was extremely disconcerted to read in the Blade that the Sylvania representative seemed to be at the forefront of the sales tax business. Now, any way you look at it, it's going to cost me more if it goes to a sales tax. It just is. I figured out what I generally spend taxable in a year, and it's going to cost me more. And if I buy a car, on a $25,000 car, it's going to cost an extra $125. As far as I'm concerned, you folks here are to take care of the citizens of Sylvania. And I cannot see how, in good conscience, you can ask me to pay more than I'm already paying. The property tax, I can certainly understand why you want to get it off the property tax rolls. But all you're going to do is cost your citizens more, only it'll come in little increments here, there, and there, where people won't notice. But they're going to pay more, and you're certainly going to pay more when you go to buy a car, no matter where you buy that car. I buy my cars up at Bluesfield, Michigan, from Knapp Motors. They will charge the sales tax that's applicable here. As far as the auditor and not having the reports in on time, another big black mark. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not image. It's the actual things that the management does that is just very poor management. And with a sales tax, you're asking citizens to give TARDA $10,000 more to mismanage. You're rewarding poor performance. And I don't think that that's something that any of us would want. So I would ask you very seriously to not let it go to a sales tax.
Thank you, Carol. Tim?
My comments are going to be brief, and that is that we need to have some way to get our disabled citizens around this community, period. So regardless of what happens, there needs to be a true understanding that not having a planning place is not an option. And Perrysburg, we begged them to put the plan in place before they asked the voters to eliminate the funding. My request to you is that regardless of what you decide to do, that you have a plan. We need for people to be able to move across jurisdictions. And I believe that somewhere down the line, those discussions get lost in the fact that if we can simply get people around this community, we're good. And every day I have people coming and going to the ability center from throughout this community. And on September 23rd, the first day that TARPs will no longer be available in Perrysburg, I will lose my administrative assistant. She will not be able to get to work. So there are people impacted by these decisions. I think everybody understands that there's fiduciary responsibilities on behalf of elected officials, etc. But there's also a responsibility to not moving ahead without a plan. I ask that you have a plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Scott,
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
All right. I am particularly concerned about providing some transportation options to elderly, your mother, those that are incapable of providing transportation for themselves. I mean, TARDA isn't working. It doesn't work. They serve on any given day about 3% of the residents of our member communities, and 55% of those they serve are Toledo public school students. They're serving less than 1.5% of the people in the community on a daily basis. And you know, the idea that I think a lot of people support TARDA because they want to provide transportation for the needy in our community, and yet, and you know, I've seen statistics that 1 in 4 Lucas County residents live below the poverty line. They don't ride TARDA. Why is that? Because TARDA doesn't meet their needs. Tom, you guys aren't cutting it. And the fact that you still have Jim Gee as your director is a big problem. I mean, his performance over the last couple of years is a big problem for you. You need to change that director at a minimum. You need to figure out how you're going to do these things. I feel very strongly, and I'm going to urge at an appropriate point, that we do put this withdrawal issue on the ballot. I think we owe that to our community. We've been in it since its inception, and I think we need to vote up or down on that. And I hear what Tim's saying, and Scott, I would like to work with you, and I'm prepared to do that, to work with you to put together an alternative to provide the service for the people that I think our community most want to serve, which are those that need it. I don't know what the rest of the council feels about that, but I think Tim's absolutely right. We have this ability, we have the Ability Center here. I would like to figure out a way that we could, interact with a TARDA that doesn't serve Sylvania Township and the city of Sylvania. This idea that we're going to serve the city on the interstate system and ignore Monroe Street is laughable to me. I mean, I just can't imagine we're going to do that, only to avoid providing TARP service to the people along Monroe Street who need it, because they're getting a free ride. My preference would be drive down Monroe Street and serve those people if they live in the township and they're not paying for it. I don't care. If I'm going to pay for the service, if you can't take people in Sylvania down Monroe Street and all those businesses, Tom, you're not getting the job done. You got to rethink that. Okay, you got to stop thinking in this box of the way you always do things. And I don't know if we need a whole new TARDA board, if we need this guy from Denver to come out here and run the system, but you got to understand, if your plan is to not service people on Monroe Street, not take people from Sylvania to all those businesses on Monroe Street that between here and this, and that's a lot of people in Toledo. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, you got to rethink that. And I urge you to go back, take that back to your board and rethink that. I mean, you're in a service providing business. And you're not doing it. I mean, the fact is, if you look at the numbers, your ridership should tell you that you're not getting the job done. So I urge you to go back and let's make a pitch to Sylvania Township and Ottawa Hills and Spencer Township and Waterville and the city of Sylvania to prove to us that you're worth the money. And we pay 2.25 mils in TARDA fees. We as a council could, if we opt out of TARDA, and we have a plan to provide some sort of public transportation to those who are most needy in our community, we might very well be able to do that for 2.25. And we have that authority to replace that. We have that power within our charter. So we are not without options in terms of providing an alternative. So, I urge you now, not to wait until January. I urge you now to go back and think about what's happening. If you've got all these communities, if you've got these communities that are saying they want to opt out, that ought to be a red flag to you that you need to do something different. Okay? It's not getting done. And I don't know, I'm not a transportation expert. But you folks are, and what I heard from Scott tonight is that we don't collaborate like other communities, and I don't know why. I don't know why we wouldn't do that. So I guess I probably said more than I should. I do want to let everybody here know that at appropriate time, I do intend to make a motion that we put this resolution on the ballot.
And Doug, if I may, we can have a little more conversation there if we want to, but we're going to start losing council members. So I guess what I'd like to suggest, given the fact that there's a high level of interest in this, and I'm not sure that we're leaving it at all resolved, that we schedule another committee meeting sometime soon, hopefully in advance of your recommendation about legislation, to talk a little bit about the options and talk a little bit about a planned process. I think Tim's point that we should be very mindful of not putting this on the ballot unless we have an alternate plan is, that's well taken, all right? And so I think let's try to put something together before the end of the month, get back together again, have a little bit more conversation, certainly make sure that the TARDA folks are notified about that, and see if we can come up with a more specific recommendation to council that's in the planful mode. Tom, anything, any rebuttal?
I'd just like to say that I think now you need to invite TARDA management back. Tom is our volunteer representative to the board, and attacks on him are inappropriate. Just as, at least you get paid for the work you're doing in the community. He's not getting paid anything. He is not a transportation expert. He is our representative. And if we're going to talk on the terms that we started with this meeting, you need TARDA management.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, Tom, you understand that we have a high level of trust of you, and I think we appreciate the advocacy you have given the city in the past. I remember the situation a couple years ago, Tim remembers this, where we there was going to be some changes in routing and schedules, and you were went out of your way, I think, to advocate for us, and we actually ended up getting better service than worse service at that point 2 summers ago. So I certainly don't fault the service that you provide. However, I do think that, and so we didn't want to invite your management here tonight because I think we had a we wanted to hear what you had to say. But moving forward, we will, Mayor. And we'll schedule that meeting and make you aware of it as well. Okay, anything else tonight? I need to be moving on as well as Mr. Brown. If not, we'll call the meeting adjourned at 6:26. Thank you. Thank you, guys.